This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. We've been gone for 2 weeks. I was down in Southern California at Newport Beach Beer Festival. Britton, Joel, and Andy were up in Seattle trying some Northwest beers. And we're back to try several different beers tonight. We have a Klamath Falls beer. We have one of the Game of Thrones beers. And a Strange Brew. And three beers from Dogfish Head. I'm Dallas Hellicker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton and Joel Miner, Kira Hopkin. Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hello.
What's up?
Welcome back.
Good evening.
Feels good to be back. It's been too long since we had one of these. I know everyone has been clamoring for more Beer of the Day podcast. It's tough to go on the road and still do a podcast. We tried to record one at the festival. You know, there's a lot of drinking going on. Didn't really come out too well. So we have some clips from it that we'll play next week. But tonight we're going to do just a regular old show. But I want to hear from Britton, Joel, and Andy about their trip to Seattle and the breweries they went to.
Yeah, so, you know, we went to Seattle last weekend and hit up a few of the breweries. The one that sticks out the most to me is Fremont Brewing, which is kind of one of the last places we went. And the beer, I don't know, we probably had four beers there.
Yeah. Yep.
And they were all solid. The one I liked the most was they had a grapefruit IPA. And a lot of the grapefruit IPAs to me are too much on the grapefruit, but this was like the perfect balance of the bitterness from the grapefruit with the bitterness hops from the hops, and it was excellent.
Well, what was the percentage on that?
I don't know, seven. It wasn't high.
I mean, we've had a couple. We've had the Sculpin grapefruit, and yep, we had the Schlafly grapefruit IPA, right, which was a little bit lower, a little tamer on the grapefruit.
It's somewhere in between. It was just an easy drinker. It was refreshing and an easy drinker. That's what I remember the most about it.
Yeah, their porter and their stout were also pretty fantastic.
Yeah, we did have a good opportunity to go all the way out to Redmond, which is, you know, north of Seattle. We actually went to a brewery called Black Raven, and it had amazing porters as well as IPAs. You know, those are the two breweries, you know, Black Raven and Fremont, that really stuck out to us as being the best whole selection, overall good quality beer, you know, in Seattle. I mean, a couple more fun things we did too. We took a boat over to Bainbridge, and we went to Bainbridge Brewery, which you can see a lot of their beers on tap across Seattle. And just the whole experience of going on an island on a boat, and then just, we actually walked 2 miles from the
two and a half miles from
the ferry to the brewery. And the guy's like, yeah, a lot of people do that and they never go back.
They never walk back.
They never walk back. They take a taxi back. So that's what we did. But it's really good experience. Bainbridge is a great place to go if you guys want to have like a really good experience of drinking beer. And there's also a distillery across the street. So,
and one thing I noticed, and Jeff has mentioned it in the past on the show, is that all the bars and restaurants there, their tap list is all local beer. I didn't even see Bud Light. I mean, there was none of that crap.
Yeah, there was a good selection.
And there was no Sierra Nevada. There was no Sam Adams. It was all local craft beer. So it's a cool vibe. Anywhere you go, you can get a good beer.
Yeah.
I was talking with Kevin Mitchell, the Sierra Nevada rep for Northern California, and he was talking about how it's rare in Sacramento how the bars and restaurants here always have a lot of local Sacramento beers. It's becoming more and more prevalent here. And I told him that Seattle seems like that way for me. I think there's more breweries in Seattle than any other city in this country. And we don't get that many Seattle beers down here, but they do distribute locally.
And we had a couple conversations about distribution, and a lot of the guys said, oh, well, yeah, it's really hard for us from like state issues getting over the state line. Yeah. The distributors that we have available to us, and they mentioned it was a challenge, but we get tons here in Sacramento from SoCal. But you didn't see that wide variety of things that aren't as local in Seattle. Like Andy said, it's pretty much like a list. You got 20 beers, 19 or
local.
Are going to be local.
Well, and even the guy at Bainbridge was saying that a lot of these breweries, if you're seeing it in Seattle, they don't even contact a distributor. They're self-distributing it like within the city.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the first beer for the show tonight. This is one that Andy, he wasn't in Seattle, but he was in Oregon a few months back, and he brought back down this beer. It's called Back Road Vanilla Porter from Klamath Basin Brewing in Klamath Falls, Oregon. This is 6.7%, and it's been in the fridge a little while. Porters, you know, age pretty well, so I'm not too worried about that, but looking forward to trying this one for a while.
Klamath Falls, on the road to nowhere.
Did you take the back roads to get there?
Did not. See, this beer is called Back Road Vanilla Porter.
Now, when I drive to Oregon, at least in the last year or so, I've gone with my dad, and we on our way back, we stop in Klamath Falls and play golf. We stay at a resort there, and there's this brewery in town that has excellent food, really good beer, and I decided to bring one back this time, so I'm looking forward to this. I didn't have this beer at the brewery, so
it smells fantastic.
I get a really good brown sugar smell from it, and definitely some vanilla in the after smell. You know, at the end of the smell,
the after aroma.
After aroma. Mm-hmm. The color wise, it's a brown beer. It's not super dark. There's quite a bit of color that comes through. It's a pretty thin, a
little mahogany brownish.
Yeah, a little off white head.
Yeah, so I took a sip. I was the first sipper, and I was I'm really impressed with this beer. Not because not because it's a standard like everything porter, but because it's very drinkable. This is something I think my wife would really like. When I go for a porter, I want a little bit of a hop flavor in it, and it doesn't have that much hops coming through. I'm getting a lot of malts, and you're getting a lot of like sugars. You get a little bit of that vanilla, but I mean, I like a little bit more of a hop flavor, a little bit of bitterness in mine, and this lacks it, but it's still very drinkable.
I get a lot of sweetness in this beer, but as I took a first sip, I thought, uh-oh, this might be too sweet. And then this bready maltiness, a little bit of slight bitterness comes through in the middle, and it tames it, so it doesn't become too sweet. I really like that about this
beer. It's like an ashy bitterness, like the outside of a burnt piece of meat, you know.
It's a porter, but it's a lighter porter, so it's not one of those heavy ones that feels super thick on the tongue, anything like that. It's definitely real light, easy to drink for a porter.
And you can see through this porter, which is pretty unique. I mean, when you hold up to a light, I mean, you're getting a lot of visibility to see the light through it.
I didn't like it at first, like right off the bat. I can't describe what taste it was. But I really liked the aftertaste, and now that I'm applying Andy's third sip rule, I'm liking it more and more.
Patent trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Third sip rule comes into play every time.
That's what she said.
All right, well, let's get into the beer news of the day. Kind of a slow week in beer news. I was sifting through the internet trying to find a couple of news stories to do, and there was some interesting stories. I wouldn't say that I'm a fan of either of these stories, but let's just, enough of the preface disclaimer, let's get into it.
So this seems a little counterintuitive, but a new study suggests that drinking beer could actually help you lose weight.
I can tell you that's a lie.
So researchers at Oregon State University published a study that the effects of xanthohumol, which is a flavor found in beer, helped mice lose weight.
How much xanthol humol did you taste in that first beer we had?
And did they cover it in 300 calories of sugar? And
I don't know. This is just odd. Well, so the mice that consumed it gained 22% less weight than the other mice because they were all on high fat diets. But the study authors say you'd have to drink, get ready for this, 3,500 pints of beer in a 24-hour period to get the same result as the mice. So
we should try that.
Challenge.
Okay, challenge, game
challenge
one.
Accepted.
Are we doing this? Are we doing this now?
Next episode, we're going to do that. All right, what's your other stupid story?
All right, second stupid story. This one disgusts me.
Billy,
I like how intense you are.
A group of brewers from Australia have produced beer with yeast grown from their very own belly button fluff.
Ew. Oh,
now,
this is disgusting.
No.
You're gonna try and justify this, aren't you?
Now, we drank a beer made with the yeast of a guy's beard.
Okay, but
no.
We did.
That's disgusting.
It was bad.
It was like it took me 4 beers to get up the courage to even drink the beer that was made from the yeast from a beard.
Now, if you think about it, it's just yeast.
Yeah, but
that's what she said.
What is the point of creating beer from yeast from your belly button lint?
Well, I just want to know if it's an innie or an outie.
It's definitely an innie.
You got to collect the fluff.
Don't. There's no need to brew beer from crazy things that are disgusting.
Yeah,
why do that?
I agree with you, Dallas.
It's a news story. It's entertaining to talk about, even though it makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, we all chuckled.
Oh, but I won't drink it.
The things you'll do.
All right. Game of Thrones premiered their 6th season on last Sunday.
Ow!
And we've been saving this Game of Thrones beer for about a month. And this is the Seven Kingdoms, 6.9%. What kind of beer is this?
It's Seven Kingdoms. It doesn't say. Hoppy Wheat Ale.
Hoppy Wheat Ale. So it's always good to have a Oma Gang Game of Thrones beer. We've had mixed results on them in the past.
Some of them have been great.
I mean, yeah, mix. By mix, you mean mostly bad.
They have a little work to do, but
this one is crazy see-through and super light. That gives me hope.
I got a lot ahead.
You sound a little like Jon Snow.
It gives me hope.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
A hoppy wheat ale, is that correct?
Smells good.
It's got a lot of head on it. It's golden colored like the hair of a Lannister.
That was good.
Very good.
So, I mean, it's got a lot of head. All these Oma Gang beers we've had have been Belgian style, whatever. So, I think.
So what?
You talked too early there. I think this kind of follows suit with the style of beer. I'm interested because most of these Game of Thrones beers have been disappointing, where most Oma Gang beers are actually surprisingly good.
Picking up a little lemon on the...
It's a little lemon, a little honey. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a lemony honey hot tea thing, but it's cold.
I'm getting that too.
But it's good. I like it.
I
wasn't expecting to after the last couple ones, but I like this.
I don't find it particularly hoppy.
No. It's very light.
For a hoppy wheat ale, it's low on the hops. It's more like a wheat ale.
Yeah.
Joel, you look like you need to have something to say.
I really like this beer for the style. This is not like my go-to kind of beer. I don't look in the store and go, oh, where's a hoppy wheat beer? I pick one out tonight. But this is a very well-balanced, like almost like a lager meets a wheat, meets a little bit of bitterness, but it's just very clean on the tongue. It just has like a really refreshing nice feel to it. It's got a good carbonation, a good crisp, and it's got a long-lasting flavor for that wheat beer.
It's very drinkable. I think that in all corners of the Seven Kingdoms, this could be enjoyed from Essos to Westeros. Doesn't matter. I think this is a kind of a universally palatable beer.
It has an amazing scent, though. Just the aroma that comes off of it actually smells like it's something I'm going to want ahead of time. Because there's some that smell better than they taste.
This totally.
This one just sounds...
That's good advice.
Yeah. Anyways.
Does anybody get like... There's a lot of honey to this, mm-hmm. and I don't like that.
I'm getting the honey, but I get the lemon. The lemon is that soury, zesty kind of thing that evens and balances that out a little bit more for me.
I'm getting the honey. I feel like the more I drink it, the more it builds on the aftertaste, where like your first sip, there wasn't that much aftertaste. The more you drink it, the more the aftertaste builds, and that's where I'm getting like the hop from. There's a little bit of bitterness at the end that kind of balances out the sweetness, but I think it's a good beer.
And I think the reason why I say this style is when I get like a real, like when I get a hoppy wheat, I think of a Hefeweizen, right? And so with this style, I feel like I'm getting a really good American version of that. And I'm, you know, I like this beer and it's enjoyable to me just because of the style I like a lot.
Yeah, it's Omegang always has a little Belgian in, it's got to be the yeast they use. And that really comes through in this beer. It's a kind of a Belgian style beer, light, crisp, refreshing, a little bit of lemon, quite a bit of honey. And then the hoppy, you know, it's not incredibly hoppy. There's just a little bit that adds this to it. But
personally, I don't.
You know, it's not going to turn away people that like are averse to hops.
It's not like the other Game of Thrones beers where I just don't get it. I get this. It's just not my thing.
All right. We have a new segment here, one that we've never done before, and I'm looking forward to this.
And we don't have any music for it.
Wait, hold on. So this is Joel and Andy just finished brewing their seventh batch of beer.
Something like that.
And they decided to make a rye IPA. And I believe it was inspired by, from Claremont Craft Ales, their Jacaranda, which is their flagship. And that is a rye IPA. And so we were going down to Southern California last weekend, and Andy said, you have to go to Claremont, get me a Jacaranda, because I want to compare my beer that I just brewed to its inspiration. And so we went down, and we went to the brewery, we tried a bunch of their beers, brought several more back, but... they were completely sold out of Jacaranda in cans at the brewery. They are in the process of, I mean, their distribution has picked up big time. They're in Costco's, they're in Total Wine and More's throughout Southern California. And so it's a tough commodity to come across at the current time. They were just in the process of putting the next batch of Jacaranda. But our good buddy, Nick, he hooked us up. One of their new employees had like a stash of his personal stash back in the locker, and he went in and just stole it from him, gave it to us. And so we got two cans of Jacaranda to bring back. We were down in Claremont, I guess it was 6 months ago or so.
Yeah, not in November or something like that, October, November.
Yeah, I think it was, in January. January 21st was our Claremont Craft Ales podcast, okay. Episode 33. This is episode 45. So just 15 episodes ago, we did a podcast from Claremont Craft Ales and tried pretty much all their beers. I think 10 or 12 beers on the show.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun. So if you haven't heard that episode, definitely check it out. It was probably our best one.
Nick, thank you for stealing from your new employee there.
Yes. And we have, on a future show, we brought back the Single Dude, Double Dude, and Triple Dude.
That'll be fun.
In bottles.
Yeah.
So we can try all those.
So obviously this is our beer, so we're kind of passionate about it. So I'm going to try to not be over biased on it. So these are different in one sense. The Jacaranda from Claremont is really good on bringing out that rye flavor in the beer. I mean, it's up front, it's strong, it's flavorful, it's intense. I think, what's their alcohol content on this?
6.7.
Okay, 6.7. And it is, it's got great rye flavor. So in comparison to our homebrew, and what we lose is the intensity in the rye.
Yes.
We lost that.
We did.
But what we gained in it is a higher alcohol content, which you give a little bit more sugar, and it's a little bit more balanced and drinkable, but it's got a much better mouthfeel in regards to like a thickness to it if you're looking for something like that.
Yeah. I feel like it's a little bit sweeter, but it's a little easier to drink for the homebrew.
I would agree with that.
I like the smell of the other one, but I think I like the taste of this one better.
It's kind of like with Jacaranda. If you're somebody that drinks coffee black, you don't want cream in it. You don't want anything changing the flavor.
Yep.
You want to taste the rye, and that's what you get with Jacaranda. And that's why I love that beer. Our homebrew is excellent. I'm really proud of it because it stacks up really well, but it's not the same.
All right, well, let's get into the next beer. This is our first of three Dogfish Head beers that we're going to try. And it is the lightest Dogfish beer probably on the planet. This is the Piercing Pills. Listen to those peas pop. 6%. Dogfish Head is from Milton, Delaware. We're going to have to go to this brewery someday.
This is a dark for a pills, honestly. All right.
So I read on the bottle that they're Saaz hops. Have you ever heard of Saaz
it's
hops?
It's pronounced no. Zots.
Zots.
Okay, what exactly is that? Because I have not heard of this one yet.
S-A-A-Z? Zots?
Yeah. Zots.
Zots?
Yeah. It's like a German hop. It's
oh, okay.
Yeah. It's actually very popular in Pilsner and lager style beers.
Yeah.
Which we don't drink much
of. Yeah,
I
was going to say, it's because we don't drink.
On the aroma, I get a little... It's like a little too sweet for me. Like a little sweet alcohol-y. I don't know.
Yeah, so you do get a little of that second day fruit. Like it's like that apple that's been sitting in that bowl a little bit too long.
It's been marinating with any of the other fruit, but it's just enough that it's not too sweet.
Yep. Absolutely. And I wish I wouldn't have said apple because now I'm tasting apple and I'm not sure if that's just my mind.
I'm getting a pretty classic lager taste. But maybe a little heavier lager than normal, which is kind of what you might expect from Dogfish Head. But I do get that corn, malty taste to it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because that's something that it's one of those like flavors that I can't stand. So every time I taste it, I catch it right away. I don't get it here.
Hmm.
So I'm surprised you do. I don't know.
No, that was the corn and I was like, yeah, that's what I'm tasting.
It's a German lager style that I get from German lagers. It's a European taste.
Yeah.
But it's not as carbonated as I get from a lot of German lagers, and it's actually a little bit more thicker. Like
it is thicker.
The mouthfeel is way thicker than what you get from like a German lager. I mean, I don't like those real heavy, Pilsner. I don't like those real European style Pilsners that are super light and they have a ton of weird yeast and I shouldn't say weird, just yeast that I'm not used to.
Like belly button yeast?
Yeah. Oh. Exactly.
Yeah, this is thicker. This has a Dogfish Head spin on a European lager.
But I like it, though.
It's a little syrupy to me.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I was like, I'm feeling like it's a little bit syrupy, especially on the aftertaste, and that's not something that I'm used to with drinking Pilsners.
But for this style of beer, which I normally wouldn't drink at all, I like it.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment with Peach de Bredeville from Almanac Beer Company in San Francisco and two more Dogfish Head beers at 9 and 10%. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like the Beer of the Day podcast and would like to help us out, and we could use your help. There's a lot of expenses on this show. We have the website. We have hosting, the services we use to send out the email to you each day, sending you the beer of the day. Same with text message. If you go on the website, sign up, we will text you the beer of the day each and every day straight to your phone with the picture included, MMS. You should sign up and do that right away. But if you want to help us out, you can do so by shopping on Amazon. We have a banner on our website. On the right-hand side at the top, there's a little Amazon banner. You click that, you do your regular shopping, and we get a little kickback from Amazon based on whatever you spend. It doesn't cost you anything more, but we get a percentage, and sometimes it's as high as 6%.
Whoa!
Whoa! Now,
very nice.
Just as an example, this week, somebody went on to the Beer of the Day website, clicked the banner, and they purchased foam World War II assorted gliders. This is 12 different planes, foam planes, airplanes that you can fly. They're not paper airplanes. They're foam airplanes.
I didn't know those were planes. Sorry.
They cost them $9.49. We got 53 cents out of the deal, and we appreciate you doing your shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day podcast. We got a strange brew today. Who's excited about it?
I am. Woo!
Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. Strange Brew segment. Whoa, Andy just spilled the beer everywhere.
It wouldn't be a Beer of the Day podcast without me spilling something on my shirt.
Like this
my
is mom at dinner. Peach de Bretteville. This is from Almanac Beer in San Francisco, California. 6.5%. Almanac, known for their sours. This is going to be a sour.
I'm so excited about
it
this.
It smells funky. I like it. I like the smell. This is super, super light, like a lemon yellow color.
We have a small bottle, so.
So how many ounces is that? Does it come in like a 16?
It's like 11.2 or whatever.
So this strange brew, it is a, it says it's peach. And the only peach I get from it, I got very little aroma. I was like putting my nose up in that, trying to get a little bit of flavor. You don't get much. But when I tasted it, I did get a very like center of a peach that's too ripe. So it does have that peach, but it's very like the sour part of the peach when it's like,
I love sours, and I feel like every Almanac beer I have is almost slightly too sour, where it's super hard to enjoy because it hits you like right in the back, like your molars. It hits you in your molars.
It does. You have to get past that though. If you can get past it, it's delicious.
It takes a couple sips to get used to it.
It does. Yeah. Like I love them and I love their sours, but it definitely takes 2, 3, 4 sips to get past it. Once you do though, it's amazing.
Now, oftentimes with their sours, on the side of the bottle, it says some type of fruit. The thing is that it's so sour that it overwhelms you, and it takes a few sips to even get to the underlying fruitness.
So one thing I've really kind of experimented with lately is taking sour beers and like IPAs and drinking them back to back, and you get the problem with doing that is you go from one end of the spectrum to the other, so you don't distinguish any of the flavors. I think for sour beers, you want to drink sour after sour after sour. That's the way you can tell, well, this one has some of that, this one has some of this. When you go from these bitter, hoppy beers to a sour beer, you're just tasting sour.
I think continuing drinking it, like I just poured myself some more and had some more. You get very mild peach, like on the aftertaste 30 seconds later, but it's definitely not there. Like when you first drink it, it's overwhelmingly sour, and that's it. But I feel like that's kind of a trademark of Almanac. Every Almanac beer I have is so sour, I can't distinguish like any other flavor. And I love sours.
Yeah. Interesting beer, though. It fits the thing.
Strange
Brew.
Definitely
a strange brew.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week.
What did Rich have to say?
Oh, Buckeye Nut, our good buddy.
I love Rich. He's my favorite guy.
Commented on our last podcast, which was Deja Stout. Deja Stout meaning the second recording of the Stout show because we were too drunk on the first one. Rich says, finally an episode dedicated to the finer aspects of beer, stouts. Thanks for another great episode, folks. It made for a decent flight on Southwest back from Ohio from a conference in Seattle. And
we were just there.
It would be great if they offered another craft beer other than Fat Tire. Absolutely. I will say, Seattle has some nice breweries, Bad Jimmy's, Cloudburst, and a big shout out to Outlander Brewery. Mm. The Outlander peanut butter Stout and Raspberry Farmhouse Ale were the best I had in Seattle.
We should have gone there.
Good.
Wow.
That sounds amazing.
So hold on, it's important.
I had, when we were at, so this was towards the end of the night on one of the nights, and we went to some random bar, and before you think that I forgot the name of the bar, that was actually the name of the bar, was some random bar. I was a little too close for missiles, so I had to switch to guns, and got a Cloudburst Darken Phlox, which was a coffee hazelnut imperial stout, and it was fantastic. It was so good. It tasted like Nutella. I didn't get so much coffee in it. I got a lot of hazelnut. It was nutty and creamy and delicious, and Andy harassed me for the 3 hours that it took me to drink it.
Yeah, you love that beer.
Three hours.
It tasted amazing.
It was amazing. It was actually really good.
And we wanted to go to Cloudburst, but we didn't get there.
Next time. Here's to hoping that my next flight out west this summer on Southwest will have another option for craft beer.
That's Rich?
Yes.
Rich needs to come to...
I think we need to
the
do...
the beer capital of,
another
of
beer.
Sacramento.
Yes.
Which is Sacramento.
Rich, let us know next time you're coming out to California. We gotta meet up for a beer. Okay, let's move into the second Dogfish Head beer we have to try tonight. This is beer to drink music to.
Oh, wow.
It only makes sense if you're drunk.
There is an aroma here that I cannot put my finger on.
9% analog beer for a digital age to be the official beer of Record Store Day.
Oh, yeah. Man, I love the smell of whatever they're using in this. It's got to be the yeast.
Dal and I went out for Record Store Day.
It smells delicious.
So what kind of beer is this? This is just...
It's a Belgian-style triple.
This beer is... I'm impressed by it. I mean, it's a clear... It's a darker golden color, but I really like the complexity of the flavors that you get in this. It's got a good carbonation. It's got a good smell. You know, that Belgian side comes out strong, and I like it a lot.
It tastes like a mashed up, like fully ripened banana.
That's an interestingly named beer. It's a rare one. It's like at the very bottom of the list on Dogfish Head's website. But I'm glad we got to try it. It's a rare one for sure. Okay, let's move on to the final beer of the night. This is the Burton Baton. We have not had it on the show before, but Andy and I did try this at a Dogfish Head night during SAC Beer Week 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I have an audio clip of it right here.
So I have the Dogfish Head Burton Baton. It's a double IPA. I've never heard of it before, so I'm going to give it a try here. That's it's a hoppier taste than you get from like the 90 minute. It's different. It's definitely different from anything I've had from them before. Usually those East Coast IPAs, you get a more malty taste. This definitely has a lot more hop taste, you know, more of a West Coast style. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of style they're going for, but it was just on the wall. It was labeled as a double IPA. So that's what I'm getting.
So I've had this beer before as well, and the first time I had it, I remember being like, man, this is really intense and so intense from a sweet standpoint that I didn't really like it. So hopefully it's changed since the last time I've had it a couple years back.
Or maybe you've changed and the beer hasn't.
Your palate changed.
Yeah, hopefully.
Color-wise, it's a copper-colored.
Copper.
Super clear.
Yeah.
Clear, nice, snowy white head.
It smells good.
Mm. It does smell good.
It has a dry hop aroma.
It smells a little bit sweet, though, too.
It does.
Maybe a little boozy.
Yes.
A little brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
Oh, it smells so good. I could just smell this beer. This is one of those beers where, so like Simtrep, that was a beer. I remember opening that beer on the show and the room, it just filled with the aroma of hop.
That's an amazing beer.
This beer does the same thing, except for it's not hop. It's like that brown sugar kind of dessert sweetness. You could just smell this beer. Instead of drinking it, you could smell it.
It smells amazing.
It has a little bit of a caramel maltiness, quite a bit of sweetness, a dry hoppiness.
So I am floored that it says that this is an oak-aged Imperial India Pale Ale. And if you had given this to me blind and I would have tasted it, I would have never thought that it was an IPA.
What would you have thought it was?
I don't know.
That dry hoppiness really gives it away. It's hard to not be an IPA with that kind of hop.
I can't taste that,
so,
man.
That's the thing is that's interesting about this is when you talk about IPAs, there's one word in here that makes a huge difference when it comes to that. And that's the word aged. It's an oak aged imperial pale ale.
So there's not going to be much hop. It's going to be like a scotch ale that's been on oak. And
I like it.
It's great.
Yeah. So yeah, anytime you have an IPA that just sits there in a long time in a barrel, the bitterness goes away. We did it on accident once on Celebration Ale from Sierra Nevada where we didn't do it on accident. We did it on purpose, but we didn't know what we were doing. We held on to a couple of beers for a couple of years and we tried them. You know, when you take a real hoppy beer and you hold on to it for a couple of years, it does change drastically. It adds a more sweetness and it's more syrupy, but they've actually got this down where they kind of know when they purchase it and sell it, what it's going to do after a couple of, you know, resting periods.
The fresher hop IPAs are always around 7%. When you get into the barrel age and you get into the 10%, they already have factored in that the hops are going to drop off and things are going to mellow out and you're going to get a smoother, maltier, more alcoholic kind of ale.
And I like this beer because of how much effort and thought and complexity had to go into making this beer taste the way it does. I mean, this is, I think they were going for a goal and I think they hit it. I mean, this is a beer that has a lot of flavor, a lot of balance for how high the alcohol content is. It's syrupy, but it's not oversweetened for how much ABV at 10% you're getting on this beer.
Agreed.
I like it.
There's not a big market full of barrel-aged IPAs.
No.
And
stouts, yes.
Stouts for sure. Stouts, barley wines is the thing, you know? IPAs, not so much. Dogfish Head, I mean, they nailed this beer. They really did. Like, for what it is and what it says it is, it meets the bill 100%.
Definitely. All right, well, let's recap the beers we've had tonight, and then we will decide what our favorite beer of the night was. Andy?
Okay, so we started off with the Klamath Basin Back Road Vanilla Porter. Then we had the Game of Thrones beer, the Seven Kingdoms from Brewery Omegang. Then the Piercing Pills from Dogfish Head, the Peach de Bretteville from Almanac, the Beer to Drink Music to from Dogfish Head, and the Burton Baton also from Dogfish Head.
All right, I'm going to spin the wheel here. Let's see who's going to go first. Joel is first.
So I had a hard time with this one between the Game of Thrones, you know, the Game of Thrones beer. Seven Kingdoms. And the Beer to Drink Music to from Dogfish Head. I'm going to go with the Beer to Drink Music to. It's a Belgian style. It was so drinkable. And I loved how strong that yeast flavor you got from it was. I was really impressed at this beer. And that's going to be my beer of the day today.
All right, Kara.
I think I'm going to have to go with the Back Road Vanilla Porter. It was more fulfilling in the long run. Is something that I think I could drink throughout the day and not regret.
Okay, yeah. I enjoyed that one too, for sure. All right, my beer of the day is the Burton Baton, the last one we did. Andy kind of nailed it right on the head, where it's rare to have a barrel-aged IPA. And this one, when IPAs get older, they lose that hoppiness, and it is a special art to be able to get an IPA that loses its hoppiness to still be a really quality beer. And this nails that on the head. The barrel aging process smoothed it out. It's sweet. You can just taste the quality in that beer. So Burton Baton, mine.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing you quoted or you cited me on your your speech there, because I was going to say the same thing. So, Burton Baton, they nailed this beer. I mean, it's always fun to have something different and have it done really well. So, you just can't beat that beer. The brown sugar, it meets the definition of so many different types of beers, but it's a barrel-aged IPA, and you don't see that very often.
For me, I'm going with Burton Baton as well, and not at risk to sound like a broken record, everything that Dallas and Andy said, it was super smooth and enjoyable, sweet brown sugar. Yeah.
You're at risk.
I know. It's okay though.
Good job, Broken Record.
Thanks.
So we had a good time and got to try some, the three Dogfish Heads. I mean, that's rare that we get to do that. We did a show from OTP and tried six different Dogfish Head beers. So check that show out. That was pretty good. So next week, like I said earlier in the show, Jeff and I went to Southern California, Newport Beach Brew Fest. We have a lot of stories from there. We have audio clips that we recorded at the place. We brought back beer with me to Northern California. We will try those on the show. We will do that next week. For Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Kira Hopkins, I'm Dallas Hellicker. We'll see you next time on the Beer of the Day podcast.
How good are you at editing?